Yes. Welcome to this Not So Calm podcast. I'm Pat Contry, the person whose career is dead, according to many. It is Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. And this will be a semi-short one. It's post-Thanksgiving. Post-Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving? What are you grateful for out there? Are you grateful for the fact that you can celebrate Thanksgiving and eat way too much food? Way too much food. I actually went to my friend's parents' house. My friend is actually also my ex. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell her that I'm talking about this. But we get along fine, even though we're not in a relationship anymore. And I don't have any local family, so I was invited over to the family Thanksgiving. Great food, great food. There was a little Cajun thing going on, and you know, you had your typical turkey. There was a ham there going on. You had cranberry sauce. You want to do the real cranberries, by the way, not that Jell-O mold thing. That's disgusting. And other lots and other goodies. But when it came to the gravy, though, the gravy, oh my God, it was in a pot. And plus, there were greens. You got to go for the greens. There was a pot of gravy there that turned out to be a gravy jambalaya hybrid / gumbo. I always confuse what gumbo versus jambalaya is. I think jambalaya is less soupy. So it was really gumbo. Gumbo is more soupy, right? I answer my own question. So I get my turkey. I got my greens. Oh, the greens were fantastic. Oh, the baked mac. Don't call it mac and cheese. She'll hit you if you call it mac and cheese. It's baked mac. Excellent. So I scoop out the gravy from the pot, and then I pour it. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, just pieces of pork and shrimp and other goodies just all over my turkey. It was a meal on top of a meal. And so as I get older, I can't eat as much as I used to. My belly's still there a little bit, but I can't eat as much as I used to. I fill up more easily. And Thanksgiving used to be one of those meals where two full plates, pile it on. Come on. Come on. I'm a big boy. I'm still growing, even though I'm in my mid to late 20s at the time. Come on. So I used to be able to eat a lot more food. I got a second plate. My first plate wasn't even huge. It was large, but it wasn't like a mound of food. I got a second plate, like a half plate. I took like four bites of the second plate, a couple more greens, a little piece of turkey, the baked mac. And oh my God, I was done. I was tapped out. I was tapped out at that point. So it was definitely worth it, even though my friend's mother said five times that I should marry her daughter. But that a little bit awkward. But it was still worth it. And very nice family, very nice people. And I hope that you remember, even when things are bad out there, that you are better off. If you're able to listen to this with technology, with the internet and Wi-Fi, if you're listening to this in a cafe somewhere, you're better off than like 99% of people in the world. 98% easily. You are better off. You're not living in squalor. You're not in poverty. You know, you're not going to bed hungry. So think about that. Be grateful for that and build off that. Try not to think about, this goes for me too, try not to think about what you don't have. Think about what you do have and be happy you don't, you know, you don't live in a place where people, you know, kids are dying of starvation or a massive famine going on or disease going unchecked. It's not bad, even though, you know, bad stuff happens to everyone. It's not bad overall right now for most of us. So, yeah, you know, keep that stiff upper lip if things are going a little bad for you. Sometimes things get a little harrowing every now and then, you know, but, you know, life goes on, but I hope everyone's doing okay out there. We are a month away from Christmas. I hope everyone has your service merchandise catalog and your Sears catalog, and you're picking out what you want for give the people for Christmas, and also picking out what you want for Christmas. I haven't asked for anything specific for Christmas for about 13 years. Definitely after I moved out and I could support myself in my mid 20s. My dad would ask me what he wanted for Christmas. I said, Dad, there's nothing you can buy me that I can't buy for myself. So it would be, my sister would buy me goofy t-shirts. If you see me wear that old Sean Baby t-shirt, Aquaman sucks, which is funny. Now in 2018, there's a movie coming out. It actually looks pretty good. You know, just buy me t-shirts. Or my mom would try to buy me something and totally be off the mark. You know, but they try. They love your parents, hopefully. My mom one time tried to buy me a giant. It was like 10 pounds of like popcorn and flavored popcorn. I was never a big popcorn guy because my mom never bought us popcorn at home. So I was just like, Mom, you missed the mark on this. I felt bad. I was like, Mom, I never had popcorn ever. As a child. I was like, Mom, you never bought me popcorn and went to the movies. So why did you get me popcorn? Oh, well, they try. They still love you, though. What's been going on in the world? I should have my topic list open. I've just been doing this podcast now for a year and a half. You'd think I would know what I'm doing by now. But no, of course I don't. This will be semi-short, though, because now I'm hungry thinking about that gumbo gravy, which should be illegal. This was an interesting topic to me, and this is probably the closest I'll get. You know, I try to shy away from video game topics on this podcast because there's the other podcast that this YouTuber with a dead career does, and that's the Complete Unnecessary podcast with my pal Ian Ferguson. But I will talk about this article from US Gamer covering YouTubers getting copyright strikes and having their channels tossed by Nintendo over them uploading songs from Super Smash Bros. Ultimate that's coming out I believe it's December 6th or 7th. So this got leaked a few days before I recorded this, a few days ago. So about 2 weeks ahead of schedule, it's been leaked. This game is out in retail stores. I think Nintendo and other people have linked it to some retail shop in Mexico, let people have it early. Ooh, Nintendo is not going to be happy about that when they find out. They're gonna send their Nintendo assassins. Reggie with his Negan back is going to come visit you. But I've heard rumblings myself even before it became public about this getting out there that people had this. And what I'm going to say is this, that people that uploaded these, they basically ripped the soundtrack. And other people are looking in behind the scenes. And again, I'll talk about this more next week. People are looking into the hex code for all the secrets and stuff. But what's been happening is that people are ripping the soundtrack and putting it online. And whoa, does Nintendo not want that to happen? And with good reason. It's their property. It's even if it wasn't a leak, they could do the same thing legally. But so two YouTube channels... Disifizer, not spelled the way you would think, with a lot of Y's, and Crunchy, no Y, two I's, they shared many of the leaked tracks in the upcoming Smash Brothers Ultimate soundtrack, and announced their channels were hit by several copyright strikes by Nintendo. So how copyright strikes work is that you get hit with three within a certain amount of time, and your channel could be done, especially if you don't fight it. And in this case, there's nothing to fight. Nintendo would crush them, because Nintendo is in their legal rights to do that. So... Crunchy said, well, I guess it was a nice run for a few years. My channel will be gone next week. Sorry, everyone, he wrote on Twitter. Their channel was hit with 21 copyright strikes and counting. So basically, Nintendo said, okay, they probably did a match in their system and automatically were striking any song that matched. Distifizer, God, I can't even pronounce that, also said, they got a bunch of copyright strikes. I've also been copyright striked. And the Distifizer YouTube channel will be deleted in 7 days. I knew the risks when uploading a soundtrack 2 weeks early, but I didn't want to be left behind other uploaders. Okay. And that's really what I want to focus on, is that statement by Distifizer. I knew the risks when uploading a soundtrack 2 weeks early, but I did not want to be left behind other uploaders. I'm guessing there's like a Smash Brothers news and like leak culture out there where you got to be first to get the news out there, first to get this information out there. But this isn't just information or news. This is just ripping the tracks and uploading them wholesale. I'm not sure what cachet you get in the Smash Brothers community for doing this, but obviously it's not worth it full time to be, oh, wow, that Demystifizer guy, he uploaded early. He's a hero. Now his YouTube channel is gone forever. I don't know. I'll look it up now, how much money they make off their channels or how many views they have. The fact that I have to copy and paste this name, I can't figure it out. Distifizer? Demystifizer? Distifizer. Jesus Christ. Let's see what their YouTube channel is like right now. But it's just not worth it. They know it's not. So this is a channel that has 70,000 subscribers. They're doing a live music stream right now on YouTube Live. Hopefully not of this stuff. So this is a Nintendo Soundtracks channel. So this is built off of this channel is built upon uploading stuff that they didn't create at all. Not fair use even. They're not. This doesn't look like they are Nintendo Switch soundtracks. They uploaded all Legend of Zelda. They uploaded the ARMS soundtrack. They uploaded the Super Mario Odyssey, Kirby Star Allies, Xenoblade Chronicle soundtrack. So this is what this channel does. And I imagine other channels like that. I don't know if these channels actually make money, because if Nintendo has this in their content ID system, they just match it, content ID match, and Nintendo makes all the money. But I guess there's still some, I don't know, there's something to being a popular Nintendo soundtrack uploader. I mean, someone has to do it, right? If no one does it, on YouTube, everything's uploaded. But if you were someone that made money off this or gained any sort of popularity, this is then in the line for your YouTube channel. And you took that risk and you got hit. Nintendo wasn't screwing around here, obviously. They weren't going to let people get away with it. And then I don't remember this happening with a Nintendo title before, where 2 weeks ahead of time it came out and people were talking about what's in the game and uploading stuff. Man. Yeah, the whole thing leaked online. All right, I'm going to stop talking about this. I just want to focus on the YouTube part of it, that if this is how you made your bones on YouTube, just ripping and uploading soundtracks, hey, you're doing good work for people, and I probably would listen to an NES soundtrack every now and then or download one for use in a video. But to throw away your career, YouTube career, by putting up leaked songs or songs early off of a leaked game that you know Nintendo's going to be pissed about, I don't know if that's worth that gambit, and obviously it's not. If your YouTube channel is going to be gone in a week. So, all right, there you have it there. Wish I had more to say about that, but that's just a weird topic. I'm proud to be working with NordVPN. It's what I use to keep myself safe online, and you can too. If you care about the privacy and the security of your information, NordVPN is now offering 66% off a 2-year plan when you go to nordvpn.com/pat or use code PAT at checkout. VPN is a virtual private network. Today, having one is more critical than ever. If you're doing anything online, your info and browsing habits are out there for people to get a hold of. And ISPs can even track and even throttle some of our websites based upon our browsing habits. Ugh. When you use NordVPN, you have access to over 4,000 super speedy servers in 62 countries. And those connections secure your information using military-grade encryption. That means your information and what you do online is nearly impossible to track. PC Mag made NordVPN their editor's top VPN choice. Just one account lets you protect up to 6 devices. There's an app for Android devices, iOS devices, PC, Mac, whatever. Unlimited bandwidth, unlimited, and a money-back guarantee. Again, to get that special offer, 66% off a 2-year plan, go to nordvpn.com/pat or use code PAT, P-A-T, and get going with your secure web browsing today. The White House on Black Friday, which is a slow news day after Thanksgiving, they released a report about climate change. And guess what? It wasn't good. Now, ever since the very first episode of the Not So Calm podcast, I talked about climate change and how, we should be troubled by this. This isn't something that is going away anytime soon. It doesn't look like it's lessening anytime soon. And even if we're not fully sure of the ramifications versus how much we're contributing to it directly, there's a correlation there for sure that we're doing something and it's going to be bad. And 99.9% of scientists agree with that point, and I would rather trust the scientists and go off my own gut, since I'm not a person that studies climate or geothermal warming. I will go off what the scientific community, the people that have PhDs in this shit, I will listen to them. I will defer to people talking about microbiology if they're microbiologists, or talking about the weather if they're the weatherman on TV, people that have studied this stuff and are really into it. Oh, you know, talking about okapis, you know, those cute, you know, zebra horse hybrids, I will trust a zoologist versus myself or some random person. So you want to defer to the experts on these matters and go off of what the community as a whole thinks. Which is not unreasonable to think. Of course, we're like in this age of non-science, though, with anti-vaxxers and people thinking that the Earth is flat and dinosaurs never existed and that climate change isn't really a thing when it obviously is. So the White House puts this out saying that, they said that unchecked global warming would wreak havoc on the U.S. economy. Of course it will. You're going to have rising waters. Florida will be hit heavily by that for sure, in terms of like swamp areas, things like that. Hot areas get hotter. Some weird shit happens. More fires have been happening every year in California. I'm not saying it's all because of climate change, but it's not helping. That's for sure, with all the droughts that go on et cetera, et cetera. Having five hurricanes in 2017, yeah, that's not typical. And yeah, things of that nature. Besides the Earth warming up every year. Am I saying anything crazy? No, this stuff is all verifiable. And NASA is putting out this stuff too. It's, but anyway, so the government comes out and says, yeah, we got to watch out for this. Plus, it's going to cost a lot of money with all these disasters that are going to happen. So, of course, our fearless leader said he doesn't believe it. But again, I don't think you should put that much faith in someone's opinion if they're not an expert on it versus what the community at large thinks and his own government thinks. So I don't know how we get out of this. I think I saw a report that France is trying to ban fossil fuel cars by 2030. The production will be over. Everyone's got to do that though. Like everyone's got to get on board and, you know, eliminate the fossil fuel cars. But then again, you have developing nations, you have, you know, nations that want to say, hey, listen, we're behind 30, 40 years in industry. Screw you guys. I want mine, which is not totally unreasonable when we think about it theoretically, because while the rest of the world was burning up shit and throwing toxins in the air in order to industrialize and lead the world in technology, these other countries were left behind, and now they want to catch up too. But, you know, we got solar power. We got the sun. The sun's going to be brighter. That was the weirdest thing about this. In the midst of the past couple weeks of these reports and everything else, and the fact that if we don't turn around, I think the report was about, one of the reports was like 2030 is sort of like the, okay, we got to have our shit handled within like next 12 years, or this could be point of no return area. Was this report I saw about scientists were thinking about a way to dull the sun's impact by shooting shit up into the atmosphere, like into like the clouds, and have like this chemical shield. Think about it like a sports sunscreen, SPF 45, but for the Earth. There's scientists actually mulling this shit over. Because this is stuff that could become a reality 20, 30 years from now, if not 10 years from now, where this could be needed. Where we might have to just, well, if the Earth heats up a couple more degrees, we could be doomed, especially Celsius. So we got to make sure it doesn't happen. But the funny thing about this is that this was like the plot to like Highlander 2. The plot to Highlander 2 was massive global warming and the environment going to shit. So Connor creates the Earth shield so that the sun can't affect us anymore. So like there's like this red haze over everything. So we are approaching, in real life, the plot of Highlander 2, The Quickening, in some way, shape, or form. Scientists trying to figure out, how do we block the sunlight from getting to the Earth? We are approaching that point. And this isn't sky is falling stuff. This is scientists actually looking into this stuff right now. Even Matt and Trey from South Park, they're acknowledging that we are in trouble, and we are sorry for mocking this stuff 12 years ago. So in the past few weeks, they had on a two-part, it was a good episode, two-parter, Man-Bear-Pig, which is a euphemism for climate change / global warming, and they had one of the best characters they ever had on the show before, Al Gore's been on a few times, come back in the midst of all the reports and us realizing, yeah, we have to turn this around at this point. So the plot of this whole thing is that everyone basically apologizing for Al Gore, because they realize that Man-Bear-Pig does exist. He goes around town just slaughtering everyone. And of course, some people are trying to ignore it and say, well, it's too late anyway. Or other people, you know, they're not worrying about it, so we can't. And other people are like, what are you doing? We have to address this Man-Bear-Pig issue. So the whole crux of the two-part episode is everyone apologizing, kissing Al Gore's ass for not believing Man-Bear-Pig existed for the past 12, 13 years, which again goes back to when the Inconvenient Truth movie came out, when Al Gore warned us that, hey, this is a real thing, climate change. Global warming is a real thing. We got to get ahead of ourselves. The fact that Matt and Trey acknowledge that is not just telling, but the fact that they're like, okay, we make fun of everything. We realize we have to apologize to Al Gore. And of course, it's a funny episode. They still made fun of Al Gore in a certain way. But it was a big acknowledgement that they were off, way off on this subject, you know, all these years later. And Al Gore, the reason they got on Al Gore too was because Al Gore was he was right on in terms of climate change and global warming. He was wrong on how quickly it would happen. And I think by now, you know, it was supposed to be a lot worse according to the estimate. So what he surmised in the documentary was totally correct. just the timeline was just off. And that's why people got on and said, oh, no, not in 8 years. The, you know, we're not going to have New York City underwater in 15 years, maybe in 50 or maybe in 70, you know. And that's always hard to guess how quickly the Earth responds to things and how resilient it can be in some nature versus others. But as we see, you know, we have to turn it around. It's the only thing I can say. And again, this is not a political issue at all. And if you bring that up, you're really showing really how shallow your thought process is. If you want to say I'm wrong on some sort of scientific basis, you can go for that. But this is not a political issue at all. This is a health and safety issue. This is a science issue. This is a Earth is flat sort of thing versus round. That's to me what this is. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Here's the best part about the Robinhood app. There's no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade. I've been on those before in the past, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. It's designed for ease of use, easy to understand charts and analysis and market data, and you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. So here's what Robinhood's doing for you, for all out there. Right now, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help start build your portfolio. Sign up at notsocommon.robinhood.com. That's notsocommon.robinhood.com to get your free stock and get trading today. Time for a few questions on the Not So Common podcast. This is from at Picard Resists. Did you ever think that your career would involve gaming while growing up? What advice would you give to younger Pat? Wow. God, that's like a crazy Back to the Future plot. Back to the Pat. No, I didn't think my career would involve gaming. Growing up, I remember when I was 6 years old, I might have told the story before, when I was 6 years old, I wish I still had this picture. I specifically drew a picture of myself in a suit shooting an Uzi at a bank robber, and I wanted to be an FBI agent when I was like 5 or 6 or 7. I know, not a fireman or a police officer, an FBI agent. I thought that sounded cooler. Maybe because of visiting, you know, the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., or hearing about the Untouchables. I don't fucking know. I mean, I was a weird kid. Weird kid. But no, I didn't think it was a thing. I mean, in the 80s, the video games were just fun. It was still somewhat new. Home video games was only 10 years old. Arcades were only 10 years old for the most part. The classic arcade games were less than 10 years old. When I grew up, Pac-Man came out the same month I was born, for God's sake. So I never could dream that how I can make money could be associated with gaming. Even 10 years ago, when I first started YouTube, I didn't think that it could be something that I could make money off of. When I was making, you know, the first, I always said that the first 3 years or so, I was not really making any money doing any Pat the Ames Punk videos. I wasn't. I was making nothing. It was just a glorified hobby that I put a ton of time into, more than I thought. I mean, the output I was doing was nuts. Like, I didn't have podcasts. I didn't have other obligations. I wasn't doing books. I wasn't doing, you know, 10 conventions a year. So that helped. If you eliminated all that stuff, when people always say, Pat, you're not making as many videos as you used to. Well, I was not doing nearly as much when I was doing all those videos overall. I just wasn't. Even though I was working a 9-to-5 job, or, you know, it was like really 7-to-5 job. Jesus Christ. When I was doing that, I had my entire weekends free. Every weekend, 52, 104 days a year were entirely free. I wasn't going to conventions. I wasn't working during the weekends like I do now on things. I wrote 3 reviews on Sunday for a certain Super Nintendo guidebook. I wrote 3 reviews in one day. You know, that's like 5.5 hours of work. Maybe a little bit more, 6 hours, and then playing 2 of the games. I played 1 game the night before. So, for example, that's time you don't see behind the scenes or doing business calls or things of that nature. But either way, I'm getting off the topic. This is not a, well, look at my career. But no, I didn't think I would make a career that would involve gaming. I don't think anyone would knew it was a thing. I mean, even professional gamers back then were you had like the Nintendo team and you had some professional arcade gamers. But I don't think there was a lot of money in it then. It's only the past 5 years or so, really. You want to say like 2013, when Twitch started to become a thing, 2014, 15, when Twitch really started to become a thing, is that people are like, wow, I can make money doing this. Huge YouTubers, like 2013 is sort of like that mark on, I'd say. 2012, 13 is when, you know, YouTubers became a big thing, where people could make millions off of it. I mean, PewDiePie wasn't huge until, yeah, the past like 5 years. So now the guy knows who I am, which is funny enough, me and Ian. So, no, I did not think I'd have a career growing up. What advice would you give the younger Pat? I would try to be less judgmental of people in terms of their, let's just say their loyalties and their moral code. The one thing, and the one thing that a friend of mine, I won't say who, but he's a YouTuber, told me is that you cannot totally expect the degree of loyalty you might give to others. I've been backstabbed many a time, not many times, several times by a handful of YouTubers in the past. And it's tough to exist in a world where everyone knows each other, everyone works with each other. You know, I see a YouTuber pass a major milestone, I won't say who, with their career, and I'm like, oh, that person tried to damage my career and behind the scenes, and now I got to deal with that person potentially, or the people that know that person. So you have to let things go, and that's tough. You have to swallow your pride more than you'd want to, I tell young Pat, and you have to go along to get along, but at some point you have to stand firm to younger Pat, little Pat with my same hair and chubbier and shorter and with dimples that are deeper because he had fatter cheeks than I do. I lost a little bit of weight versus when I was young. That's the advice I'd give to younger Pat. But the other advice I'd give younger Pat, not just career-wise or what's going to happen, is try to stop and enjoy the little moments and take time to relax. And that's something I've been trying to tell myself definitely the past year, or else I'd be dead by now. But over the past few years, I've worked a bunch more and not really have a chance to enjoy what I've worked hard for. And I think that's going to be one of my main goals going forward in life as I propel towards the big 4-0, which is still weird for me to think about. Even when I turn 40, I'm not going to think of myself physically or mentally at 40, whatever that means. Hopefully don't look like that. Got my nice skin from my mom. But I don't think that I'll be able to survive, at least mentally, not being able to stop and smell the roses, as you say, or have more downtime, even going to like just random days at the zoo, or actually vacationing for pleasure instead of just going out to, you know, events and grinding and working the events, which I still do enjoy, but it is still work to go to like 10 conventions a year because most of it's work still. So that's I'm gonna tell younger Pat, hey Pat, just take some time off and enjoy life because it's not gonna be here forever. You know, my father never went on a lot of vacations and was overly stressed. So I'm trying to not model myself after that. I'm trying to do the opposite of that before I get to like my 60s and 70s. I want to be able to enjoy life before, you know, I'm semi-retired. That's what I would tell young Pat. That's what I would tell him. This is from at Mahomes Goat. I guess he means Mahomes, the quarterback in Kansas City. 24/7 outrage culture. All right. Outrage culture is interesting because it's the internet has crystallized it and made it more apparent. Without the internet, outrage culture sort of died on the vine. It was sort of like, yeah, if you were angry, you did a letter writing campaign, or you had to get together for a group and do some picketing, something of that nature. But now with social media, it's so much easier to target things you don't like and to yell and thinking that your opinion means more than it actually does. Especially for inconsequential things. So I don't know if it's endemic of where we are, that it seems to be getting worse with outrage culture and, oh, someone said something I didn't like, let's target them. I don't know what that is, or if it's the culture itself, but definitely social media is not helping the matters, for sure. Cause it's easier to band together with your merry men of outrage in order to do something or say things or do something awful. You can more find the other people that are disaffected, or just disaffected by the unhappiness in their lives, or the fact that they get off on trolling, or the fact that they're so bereft of normal functioning happiness in their life that they feel the need to be upset about things all the time, both men and women, not just men. I use men for the short term before, but. Yeah, I don't know how we get past that. I think certain people probably need counseling in their lives. They need a better outlet, obviously. Do some yoga, you know, have some fish tacos, go to the gym, let off some steam. But a lot of this comes back to the fact that people's personal lives, a lot of times people's personal lives aren't fulfilling, and their jobs suck. You know, I think if your job sucks, you have nothing going on, you don't have aspirations, say you don't have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, you're pining after someone. If you feel like your life's in a rut, it's a lot easier to take out that frustration on other things outside the world that you might think matter more than they actually do. I think it's as simple as that. It's basic human nature. If you're happy in your life, you don't find the time to focus on as much negativity and to be outraged. I think that's just common sense. There's not many people that are totally happy with themselves that engage in being outraged all the time, because why would they? It just doesn't match up to what their emotional, general emotional state is. Doesn't mean you can't still be disappointed with things or frustrated or upset when certain things happen, but to be focused on it all the time, you're not a happy person. And I feel bad. I feel bad for you because you're not only missing out on fun experiences, but you're poisoning yourself from the inside out when that happens. And again, that's not easy to answer. I'd have to know what specifically is going on in that individual's life. But there's a lot of people out there that aren't happy for various reasons. And I think a lot of people displace their anger onto other issues. The anger with themselves or their own life, their own situation. You know, maybe you're in an unhappy marriage, or again, you have a shitty job. Your manager or boss yells at you. You feel disrespected. You're not making enough money. You have, maybe you have problems with your friends, or the unrequited love with a boy or a girl or a man or a woman, and so you feel the need to lash out about insignificant things, whether it's stuff in the social world, or maybe you go off the deep end when it comes to some political stuff too much, or maybe it's stuff in entertainment. Maybe you hate a movie and you feel the need to make a 3-hour video about why a movie sucks, or you need to make a 45-minute video about why this game sucks, or you have to, you know, go do a freaking campaign to get a game stopped from being a game from being completed. You know, something like that, where in the grand scheme of things, it's insignificant. It doesn't really mean anything to have all that energy going towards something so negative versus putting it towards something positive, like a hobby or learning a new language or craft, or just cooking a meal or something significant, going for a walk, calling up a friend or a family member, or just looking at cat videos or something that makes you feel happy for a minute, or doing some light meditation and breathing. I mean, this isn't all kumbaya stuff. In the grand scheme of things, this will affect your health, being overly stressed or overly negative. And plus, people don't want to hang out with you. So it could be a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're always angry at everything and everything sucks, and no one wants to hang out with people that are always angry at things. People don't want to be around you. If you're angry that some girl doesn't like you that you like, guess what? Being angry at that, other girls will notice that and not want to talk to you on top of that. Or if you're an angry woman and there's a man or another woman and you're angry about that, people even subconsciously know that there's people that make them feel bad being around them. That they feel just like, ooh, this, I don't feel warm around this person. This feels kind of weird. So happiness begins within. There's certain things you can't control. There's certain things you can alter, but for certain things you can't control, whether it's companies making weird decisions, or things outside of, you know, things happening in a global stage where, yeah, it sucks, but I can't do anything about it while I worry about making my mortgage this month. Just try to focus on what's positive. Maybe things will feel better, because those bad things will still exist out there. They will. Hate to say it, they will. So that's one thing I'm going to say about that. I hope that helps out at least a couple of you. But yeah, the best advice is that no one wants to be around a miserable person. Misery only loves company. Misery doesn't love happiness, and happiness doesn't love misery when it comes to how people are. Smile, act happier. People are attracted to that. They want to feel better about themselves by being around people that feel better about themselves as well. Man, We should all just slip some happy pills into the water supply, right? We'll just drug everyone. No, I'm kidding. Some people think that's happening already with fluoride, that we're being zombified. It's another conspiracy theory. I always thought fluoride was just to make our teeth better, so we don't have cavities. Anyway, all right. I think that's enough for this Nazcom podcast. This was a weird one. I think it was weird, but I think hopefully people liked this one, enjoyed it. If you like this, you know, you can subscribe on YouTube. People are doing that in waves. You can also subscribe on your podcast platform of choice, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, or wherever you listen to this. You cannot like the podcast, leave a comment, let others know how much you enjoy it. I'm also on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter. Also, I have a Patreon, and you can help support me in my endeavors there. It's patreon.com/PatCotry. You can also, for Christmas, order a certain NES guidebook at ultimatenes.com. Thanks, everyone. I'll see you in a couple weeks.